This 500th anniversary celebration of the Protestant Reformation, share five scripture readings that were watchwords of the Reformation, words that helped guide them and inspire them in their journey. Listen for the word of the Lord. First, from Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. From 1 Peter chapter 2. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 29, accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask of you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, there's all sorts of images that we might bring of Martin Luther in our head, but let's just call it for what it is. Martin Luther was a bull in a china shop, okay? He was. He was not afraid to get rid of church music that was too esoteric and to use some of the tunes from the bars and the taverns and put holy words to them because he wanted ordinary people to connect with God in new ways. Martin Luther was responsible for the Protestant Reformation beginning. It happened when he nailed the 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg, which is to say 95 complaints of how he thought the church had become corrupt and how it needed to change. He had some phrases, some words that we would have heard in those scripture passages that were just read, words like grace through faith and salvation as a gift and human beings receiving freedom from sin and serving neighbor. These are ideas that didn't just change the church, they changed the world. And that's what I want to say today to start out with. Is we call it the Protestant Reformation, but it really was a revolution that changed the world, because this changed how things were organized, not just religiously, but politically. There were riots that broke out as the Reformation swept across Europe. Thousands of people died. Luther hadn't thought this through all that well. That would take John Calvin later on to do a better job of thinking things through. So Luther became afraid along the way, but nevertheless, this bull in the china shop got the ball rolling and started the world changing. The key to begin to think about this is the question of authority. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? How do you know what's true? This is a question that's at the heart of human life. You have to figure out how you know what's true. And what the church had been saying is the truth comes from Rome, it comes from the Pope, it comes from the bishops and the archbishops and all these folks who were far away. And Luther swept that away and said, you learn the truth about what life is about from the Bible. So there's this new claiming of authority through the scripture. By scripture alone, Luther said, we begin to understand how we need to live. Now, this changed the world in significant ways. I mean, one of the things that was going on in the time when Luther would have been beginning this Protestant Reformation was a free-floating fear of death. You never knew when you were going to die. Life was sometimes brutal and short, and disease was out there, and there were all these different ways you could die, and you never knew when. And the way that they had thought about death was that you were going to purgatory. And if you're going to purgatory, you're going to be in pain for a long time. So the church had this system of a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? The indulgences that would allow you to not be in purgatory for so long. It's kind of like the lottery for us today. You keep on buying these tickets and thinking it's going to save you, but you have to keep on buying the tickets. Luther saw this as a corruption of what the faith was about, and he saw that it was sucking the lifeblood out of poor people. He wanted to change this because he saw how it also corrupted the clergy, corrupted the church, that the church had become this thing that didn't stand for the grace and love of God. It was about a fear-based, judgment-based sort of thing. And Luther began his religious journey in the midst of a thunderstorm when all of a sudden he became terribly afraid that he was going to die. He recognized that it was by grace that he would live. And so he began talking about grace and faith of God's love for him. Scripture was key for Luther's understanding, and therefore he saw that if you weren't trusting in the Pope and in Rome, you know, of course we've gotten over this, and we now have better relations in the ecumenical world. But historically, this was something that Luther was part of challenging and changing. He reclaimed the importance of the Scripture as central to the life of faith. And Scripture through the Holy Spirit, which meant that you had to keep on looking at Scripture because God may be saying something new to every generation. So you keep on studying this. How did we know how to study it? Well, Luther was a scholar. He was a biblical scholar. He taught both in the church and the university. He took humanism that was flourishing at the time, and he integrated that humanism with the interpretation of the Bible, and he saw these new things that hadn't been seen before. Luther was quite a scholar, published over 600 works, plus hymns and liturgies, and what he saw in his scholarly life was that lay people had not been empowered to read the Bible. In fact, it was written in Latin. They couldn't read it. And they weren't empowered to read many of them by themselves. So Luther was all about reforming society and making sure that schools received the support that they needed. In fact, he said, if we just get rid of the indulgences that they're giving to get out of jail free and in purgatory, you take that indulgence money and put it in the public schools, and you'll have plenty of money to support the schools so everybody, boys and girls, can all learn and grow in their faith. Not just in their faith, but they can learn that they are part of the priesthood of all believers, so that what they're doing in their secular life is just as important as what the clergy are doing. In fact, the clergy need to have a new understanding of who they are, Luther thought. The clergy are not the people who are in charge of the rituals of the church. The clergy are teachers. They're not holier than anybody else. They're just more educated. And so their challenge is to teach and empower the lay people so that they understand the Bible, so that they can for themselves come to see what God is saying. These are all ideas that shaped the world and reshaped the world. Because now if you want to understand the truth and if you want to understand how to live, it isn't just that it's given to you from on high, from the Pope or from the Rome or from the tradition. Rather, you have to debate. You have to argue. You look in the Scripture, you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and then you debate with one another to try to reshape the world. This is a liberating kind of movement in the world, because all of a sudden the things that they've been doing for generations now can be questioned, can be challenged, and can be changed. That Protestant Revolution, is one that is about changing the world for the betterment of society, not just for the betterment of a few, not just for the betterment of the clergy, not just for the betterment of the rich and the powerful, but for the betterment of all people as they learn and discover what the truth is and where God is guiding them in the world. After the Reformation, the world changes because, for one thing, the church shrinks. There is about two-thirds fewer clergy than there used to be. You don't need that many clergy anymore because it's not a sacramental-based religion. It's not just about the mysteries of the church. It's about teaching and about learning and about educating. They get rid of different practices in the church. They get rid of all the statues because the statues are about trying to hold on to one image of how God might be. But if you go to Scripture, all of a sudden you see you might need multiple images. You might need a new way of understanding. So you don't want the statues anymore because you want the freedom of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Scripture to you. The walls are stripped bare. You don't have as much ornate focus there because it's not about the mystery of the sacraments, it's about the teaching. All of a sudden, the pulpit takes a much larger place, and the Scripture is read from a particular place because the focus is on one thing, and that is, what does the Scripture say, and how do we interpret this as the Holy Spirit is giving us guidance? So the Reformation, it's about learning, it's about education, it's about empowering people to come to see anew how the Holy Spirit is speaking. Luther sees that the children need to keep on growing, and so he encourages parents to see themselves as the priest, as the bishop of their children, so that parents are empowered to teach their children about their faith. And the clergy themselves, their lives are changed. Because whereas before they'd been in the nunnery and the cloister, they'd been celibate priests and nuns, and Luther sees that it's a gift of grace to be married. So he challenges the idea of unmarried clergy, and now the ministers start playing Cupid to one another. This is a new practice so that their lives are part of being the life of a teacher, not a priest. Luther himself was one who, as he's trying to change the practices, and this practice of marriage of priests and nuns in particular is one that he saw as being important. Luther encouraged this father, the fathers who had put their daughters in convents, to remove them if necessary by force. Luther, as I said, he's a bull in a china shop. He wrote a bunch of exposés about renegade nuns escaping the convent. There was one in particular by Leonard Kopp. Leonard Kopp, who had provided one convent in particular with herring, pickled herring, big barrels of pickled herring. All right, so he brings in the pickled herring, and then he puts the nuns inside the barrels and sneaks them out. Luther saw this as a story of liberation, like Pharaoh being challenged by Moses. The story that I love about that particular liberation is Luther was celebrating 12 nuns escaping. Well, one of those nuns couldn't seem to find a husband that she really that she really was in love with and felt positive about. And finally, they did find one person who would marry her, and that was Martin Luther. Martin Luther married the last nun that was escaped out of the herring barrels. Let's see, she was about 25, and he was in his mid-40s at the time. He was as surprised as anyone that he would get married. And yet he talked about how much joy she brought to his house, to his life, and how women can tame the beast within their husbands. You have to assume that he was talking about himself also, this bull in the china shop. Luther praised his wife for her skills. He gave away he wrote 600 books and tracts, but he never would take any money for that because he just wanted to plow it back into the church and into this Reformation. He didn't take care of himself. The story is that he hadn't changed his sheets for a year. He was happy to get married, okay, after that happened. But she also provided an income from him. She went out and took care of an orchard. She took care of cattle and brought in food for the family. She was someone who truly was a helpmate. And Luther recognized how important she was, said that she had been for him like Moses, and he was just Aaron doing all the speaking. These stories are ones of Luther, but it's Reformation Sunday, and I really couldn't get by unless I celebrate John Calvin too, not just with the bagpipes, but John Calvin in terms of his theology, because what Calvin brought to the Reformation was a sense that God is not our judge. God is our healer. It is as if we have a blindfold on and we're in the midst of the theater, and yet we don't see what's going on. We don't need a judge to tell us how we've done wrong. We need a healer to set us free so that we can see anew. And what we need to see, Calvin thought, was how much God loved us and how much God provides for us. That God is not there to punish us, but rather God is there to open us to see the goodness and the wonder and the blessings that we have. He saw the human heart was smeared by the poison of sin, but what we need is not a defense attorney. We need a physician to get rid of the infection in our lives so that we can recover a sense of the goodness of life that we've lost, to recover a sense of God the Father who gives good things to his children, and how the world is part of this fabric of faith. And everywhere we look, if we see through the eyes of faith, we can see the goodness of the love of God. But this is not something that you see without help, and the help that we have been given is the Scripture. The Scripture that can teach the simplest mind, the Scripture that nevertheless also has a depth that can go beyond the most complex mind to help us to see how the world works and how we have been given the blessings of God. The Reformation of the Protestant Church is a time of liberation. It is a time of liberation when all of a sudden the world changes. The world changes and people are set free to live anew, to discover how free they are in grace to take care of one another and to take care of the world. Because now with the priesthood of all believers, all are called to not just take the love of God, experience the love of God, but to share that love of God. The Father who has given us his goodwill and love is part of what we discover in this Reformation. This Reformation began with a watchword that we are reformed and always reforming. We celebrate it today because we're still learning anew from Scripture. We need to claim again just how important Scripture is to guide us to see what is real. And what is most real is God's love for us. May we live in that love. May we continue that reformation, a reformation that seeks to reform the world and bring life and light as we have received it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.